This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Matt Nagy. Do you like getting hit? Do you want to be blamed for everything your coach does wrong? You're in luck. With a coach like Nagy, you'll be put into the worst situations without proper preparation, leading to uncertainty in the locker room and in the hearts of Chicago Bears fans all around. Go to MattNagyBeMyDaddy.com and use promo code BENCHME. That's promo code BENCHME and let him know the Bench Squad sent you.
You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box, okay?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, yeah. Sit down.
No brainer.
Sit down.
No, no, no.
Sit down.
Did we do the right thing?
He's on, man. This guy's saying this.
Sit down.
Be humble. Have some fun and don't worry about winning. That's a juice ball when they go.
Hello and welcome to the Bench Squad Podcast. I, of course, am your host, Robin Choi, with my co-host, Brian Jun.
Sup, everyone?
No guest manager today because everyone is so busy with their lives. I wish everyone was just busy enough to not check their lineups, though. All right, let's go right into week three. This was the week of the upsets, I think, in terms of the NFL games. Fun games to watch, some high-scoring games, and unfortunately, some injuries as well. The first game we're going to go into is Team Ron Artest beat the Van Nagy football team 102-70. 70 points.
Close game.
Very close. Team Che with 109 against I'm projected 8 now, WTF. He updated his name. We'll get to that. But he, Steve got 90 points lost there. QBs for sale. Joe, 92-74 win against Harry Christians. Fresh Prince of Valair, 134. Biggest points, 134.94 actually, against I Hope You Lose. Of course, emphasis on the I Hop, 78 points. Great name, by the way, I just want to call out. And Saquon D's Butts, 120-87 against all Mahomes, Pat My Chubb.
First win, baby. First win of the season.
And that was a big win, too.
Big win.
120. I just want to call out also, everyone who won this week got over 100 points except for QBs for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest scoring team on the losing side was I'm projected 8, Steve, at 90.29, and the lowest was me, 70.02. So overall, I think this makes like it. I know there were some injuries, but no one can complain about the points scored and the points against on this week.
Yeah, it wasn't really close. There's a lot of 70s this week. Yeah, so like some teams just got screwed over, and some teams got lucky.
I got 70 without injuries. Oh, I think I had one, maybe Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, and I think Fields was injured too.
Fields, did you hear? Nagy was like, yeah, I think he hurt his hand.
Yeah,
and then he's like, nah, I don't think I did.
You know what? I'll give it to him just to save his skin.
Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't get injured after all those sacks.
I know, he was getting group hugs from the Browns. Love him, man.
Yeah.
Wow, he's a Browns favorite.
I think it's because he's from Ohio State, so you know.
Very popular with the Cleveland Browns players.
Man, hopefully we don't play him again. I don't even know if we do, but the Browns look so good, by the way. I think, man, I can't see them getting worse. I think they're just going to keep getting better from here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go into week four matchups. We're into week four already. Normally, if this was a 16-week season, this would be the 1/4 mark, the quarter mark. But we're at 17 games, I think, in the preseason, right? So we are less than that, which is exciting. But let's go right into the first matchup. We also have a new subsegment today called Boss or at a Loss. We'll talk about that in a second. But the first matchup...
I can tell it's great already, Robin.
I took more time thinking of the name than the actual segment itself.
That's how you know it's going to be a good.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually went with the name, like thought of the name first, and I was like, can I make this into a segment? So.
That's how all great ideas start, man.
That's what I'm saying. All right, first matchup, we go Harry Christians, Paul's team against Saquon D's Butts, you know, who has his first win of the season. We just want to call out here, Harry Christians, tough luck. Very, very rough. A lot of injuries there. What are your thoughts on that? It's, the big one to mention is Christian McCaffrey, his 102?
I think it's the first overall pick.
Makes it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, unlucky. I mean, everyone wondered if Christian McCaffrey had the build to be a guy who could touch the ball like 300, 350 times. And right now, it's the past couple of years, it's not really looking like it. But at least the early news is that the injury isn't that severe. It might not be too long. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than Christian McCaffrey, he also has AJ Brown questionable, Josh Jacobs questionable. We'll see if any of these guys are able to suit up and play.
Yeah, and even if they suit, I didn't really look into the injuries too much, to be honest, but do you know if, even if they're injured, would you play either AJ? I think McCaffrey's out for sure. AJ mm-hmm. Brown and Josh Jacobs, if either of them are in, would you play either of them?
Yeah, that's true too. I would lean towards no. I see he already has AJ Brown sitting out, and I think that's a good idea against the New York Jets. I think they can just they'll probably be comfortable in the game. They can rely on Derrick Henry mostly. They can give AJ Brown a little bit of a break, and they'll probably play a lot of the game ahead, so they don't need to throw as much. And then Josh Jacobs too. What's his name? They signed a random dude, Peyton Barber.
And he went off last week.
Yeah, he played really well, I think. And they also still have, I think it's Kenyon Drake. Mm. So they still have solid options. I think they could ease in Josh Jacobs as well. So honestly, I think it'd be some choices to start them, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think given that, I have a sense of where you're leaning. I'm leaning towards Yunho winning this one. I think other than the injuries, Kareem Hunt had a great game last week against the Bears. I don't know if he'll continue to be that productive with Nick Chubb still there, but Cooper Kupp, it's interesting that he has Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. We're going to talk about that in this new segment, but I think this week I like having both of them there. I am not against that. I think that's great on a high performing offense. I'm giving it to you here.
Yeah, I think he took a couple of weeks to get his first win, but I think we're both on board with him getting his second win much quicker, mm-hmm. in a much quicker fashion. I agree. I like where Yuno's roster is heading, and I don't really like where Paul's roster is heading. He's got some weird names like, you know, Mike Davis, Michael Pittman. Maybe I just don't like M names because I don't like Marvin Jones either, you know? So like he has some interesting players here that, you know, you shouldn't really count on doing great. Mm. And obviously, you know, his team, I think, is on the right trajectory. Yeah, I think the LA versus Arizona game should be a pretty fun shootout. So I think Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods have a chance to get some points. I think Kareem Hunt has a really steady floor, so you know he'll at least get you some points. And Derek Carr, looking good.
Yeah. I think he's gonna have a great game this game. I'm interested also. Robert Woods you mentioned, and Cooper Kupp, and you also mentioned Mike Davis. So let's go into our new segment, Boss or at a Loss. So we're gonna talk about a player who I think is currently the number one position or the main starter of that position. But given the past couple weeks, we're seeing some encroachment by the second string or their backup player. So I want to talk about some of these and get your thoughts. So number one, Mike Davis, who is the running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Davis averaged in the three-game average, 12 carries for 45 yards, 4.6 receptions for 22.6 yards and zero touchdowns in those games, averaging 6.8 points per game. And then you have Cordarrelle Patterson, who was a former Bears. I loved him on the Bears because he was such a, I believe he was a wide receiver in college and became a running back. So yeah, he's definitely utilized in the past.
Returner too. He's like a little Swiss Army knife. Yeah.
I forgot who it was this week. Got a 109-yard kick return, like a missed field goal return. And I think
something Agnew.
Agnew. And Patterson was one of the few other players mentioned who have that record, 109 yards. Just a fun fact there. But Cordero Patterson, in the first three games, I believe in the first game he didn't really have much action, but overall, 7 carries for 28 yards and a touchdown, rushing touchdown. 4.3 receptions per game, 51 yards and a touchdown. He's averaging 11.9 points per game, and that's including the first week where he didn't have such a great game. He's obviously being heavily utilized in the pass game, which Mike Davis isn't as accustomed to. And an offense that's pretty bad. What are we thinking on Mike Davis and Cordero Patterson? Rest of year, who would you rather have?
So I know Cordero Patterson is actually the hot top right now. But I'm actually going to go with Mike Davis here. And so Mike Davis, he's not spectacular, but if you've seen the last 3 weeks, 7.2 points, 6.3 points, 7 points. That's never going to lose you a week, you know? Mm-hmm. And if he keeps on getting this like 6 to 7 point range and maybe 1 week he gets you a touchdown, that's a good week. But I feel like Cordero Patterson, he's always, right now he's on a hot streak, but he's always been more of that sort of gadget player. And I think when teams, now they're going to start realizing, hey, the Atlanta office is actually focused a lot around this guy. They're going to be paying attention when he comes on the field. And I think there'll be a lot more games where Cordero Patterson like really busts instead of has a big week. So I think I'm going to go with Mike Davis's kind of stability for now.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that completely. Cordero Patterson has a higher ceiling, lower floor. But I'm going to go Cordero here. I think the Falcons haven't figured it out. And I think they're going to need a few more weeks. And within that time, Cordero is going to be encroaching on Mike Davis's points. But once I do agree it's not going to last. At one point in the season, the Falcons are going to figure it out. They have the weapons for it. And so moving towards Mike Davis and utilizing him more would make sense. But Brian, so you put him, Mike Davis, as the boss. I'm going to put him at a loss.
For sure.
Let's move on to the next game. Team Che versus Team Fresh Prince of Alair. That's your team versus Adam's team. On this one, I have Adam winning.
As do I, my friend. As do I.
All right. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. I think just looking at Adam's team, so TJ Hockenson had a bad game last week. He was
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the matchup and he's got all the green arrows. where are my green checks?
That's never a good. I'd rather, you know what though, with the new format on ESPN, I'd rather have those look at those checks than the 54% like the percent win probability.
That messes me up. Like I remember in my game with Matthew, it put me at a freaking 91% chance to win, and we all know how that turned out. So yeah, the percent chance thing is broke.
Yeah, that, man, I gotta try to ignore that. We gotta figure out how to like make that not appear. But yeah, going back to the matchup, I think I picked Adam on this one because of more of the matchups for each player. Like Kamara's against the Giants, Russell Wilson against San Francisco. That's a division match. It's going to be a fun game. I think Russell's going to perform there. DeAndre Swift, also a division match against Chicago. He's questionable, and the Bears are pretty good. But DK Metcalf pairing that with Russell Wilson, love to see it. Justin Jefferson against Cleveland. We'll see, but I think this could be a high scoring game. Minnesota's offense pretty impressed me last week. Debo iffy, but I don't know. It could get offset by the 49ers defense, but kind of overall, I liked what I was seeing on Adam's side.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm looking at Adam's team, and it's like, I really want that, like, San Francisco-Seattle game to just, like, you know, not be played.
You know, like, yeah.
Hey, have you heard of any like, tornado warnings in Seattle recently? Or, like...
I was
yeah, because I'm going to say, he has, how many players is that? Four? Four people in San Francisco-Seattle. Yeah, so that's a lot. And then he has the Detroit stack against the Bears, so I'm really hoping the Bears shut Detroit out. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, this is – yeah, Paul just – or I'm sorry, Adam needs to just watch a couple games and he's good.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, what about your side of the ball? Jalen Hurts against Kansas City. Is it going to be another deuce that he's going to have to flush away without looking at?
You know, he says that, but it's like – I feel like the nice thing about Jalen Hurts is even when he has a bad game, like for some reason it just doesn't end up being that bad, because he played terrible against Dallas and it still got me 20 points somehow. I don't know where the points are coming from, but I'll take them. So, you know, I think he'll have a better game against Kansas City. I think Kansas City's defense has not been looking so good, and they've been going into like pretty hard shootouts recently. Yeah. So I think Jalen Hurts has a good shot of getting some points this game.
Yeah, what a luxury to have an offense so good that they can cover for your defense. I haven't seen that on our Bears for
I don't know, right?
Terry McLaurin on the Washington football team against Atlanta. I think he's going to do well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he had his first big game last week. 17 carries for 100. And two receptions for 9 yards and a touchdown for 15.4 points. Against Philly, I think he's going to have a good game too. I honestly think this is going to be a good matchup. Just a little shifted on one side.
Yeah, I think the reason why I went with Adam is because I feel like my players are much more inconsistent. Like, I can't... Like, last week, I don't know what happened, but I got really lucky, and a lot of my players just went crazy. But, you know, these players like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, like, Mike Williams, like, I'm totally ready for, like, Sunday to come around and they have 5 points, you know? So, like, that's the only reason why I think I'm going with Adam. But hopefully, yeah, it'll be a good match.
Yeah, usually I would say that Mike Williams is like, I think Mike Williams is a great flex. I think he could be your two or one, or your one. I honestly, because he has a touch, at least one touchdown each game.
Yeah, he's scoring more than all my other receivers. Yeah. So actually, all my other players practically.
Yeah, he usually, like last year, past couple years, I thought he was more of like a touchdown dependent player. No, like he's getting touchdowns now. We'll talk about him later in our next matchup. But for this one, this matchup, boss or at a loss, let's talk about Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. So Zeke in the past three games averaged 14 carries for 66 yards and three touchdowns on the ground. Two receptions, 17.8 yards for zero touchdowns. He's averaging 14.4 points. Now, on the other, like behind him, he has Tony Pollard, 9 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown, 2 receptions, 11 yards for the 0 touchdowns. But he, like when you watch the game, Tony Pollard is so involved. Is that of any concern to you, or is it just like really a true like two back formation or two back system where Tony Pollard looks like he's just like wearing them down and Zeke comes in for the big plays and breaks through?
I think for me, it's sort of like just, it is what it is. Like I think Tony Pollard is playing great, so he deserves a good share of the work. But at the same time, I think Zeke's play, especially as a blocker in pass protection, is something that's just so invaluable to the Cowboys. Mm. And also, so that'll keep him on the field for the vast majority of the game. But also, it's something to worry about, because if the Cowboys ever get behind and they start to throw it more and more, then Zeke is going to be in the game, but he's going to be doing a lot of blocking, just like he was doing in the Tampa Bay game which he does a really good job at, actually. He's like another lineman out there when he blocks. It's pretty impressive. So, yeah, that's sort of how I feel. They're both good players.
Yeah, and I guess if Zeke's blocking, then Tony's not in there. Tony Pollard's not in there. So it wouldn't be that Tony Pollard's taking away from Zeke's points.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep Zeke, you're still a boss.
Yeah, and he gets the goal line carries too, and the Dallas offense is pretty good, so they'll probably get into that sort of area of the field a good amount this season.
Yeah, I agree there. Moving on to our third game, Team Ron Artest. That's Matthew's team against IHOP. I'm trying to like emphasize the IHOP. It's spelled capital IHOP, lowercase e, but I hope you lose. I'm giving this to Matthew, Team Ron Artest.
Mm-hmm. And as do I, but asterisk for both of us.
Uh-huh.
We both have Matt parentheses possible upset end parentheses.
Yeah, I think this one is going to be the closest game. I'm calling it, and ESPN agrees with us because the win probability is 51%, Andy. I think this is both sides of the ball, great games. I just like Matt's team is scary. Brady, Aaron Jones, Montgomery had a bad game, but Tyreek Hill, Thielen, Keenan Allen, just like, and the record holding Justin Tucker.
Right? Record holding Justin Tucker. What a kicker.
Yeah. And then on Andy's side, he has Rodgers, Derrick Henry, Mixon, Julio Jones. I think he might be out this week.
So I think if he wants to have the possible upset, he might have to change that up a little.
Oh, for sure. But okay, so here's a question. I'm looking at Andy's bench right now, and he has his wide receiver options on his bench are Allen Robinson against Detroit, Marquise Brown against Denver, Devontae Parker against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you... Or Jacoby Myers against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I would put in. Oh, I'm split between two.
All right, let's hear the two. Is it Allen Robinson and Marquise Brown?
Yep, those are the two for me. Uh-huh. And between those two, I would go Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would lean towards Robinson as well. I think, you know, Detroit might be an even matchup for us now. You know, we might have a shot against Detroit, hopefully. But I think that is sort of the reason why I feel like this is still a Matt-favored matchup, mm-hmm. because the reason why I think this is a possible upset is because when you have Aaron Rodgers, Derrick Henry against the Jets, and Joe Mixon against the Jaguars, like I think those three players alone could win you a week. And so I think, and like those matchups particularly, like the Jets and the Jaguars, like those are prime, you just run the whole game out kind of teams. And so like I feel like there's the risk right there.
Mm-hmm.
But when like the only thing that's holding me back are the receivers for Andy. Like he's got Julio and Cortland Sutton in the wide receiver spots right now and starting, and like they're a little bit shaky, you know. Yeah. I mean, they're good, but then, you know, Matt has Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen and Keenan Allen on the wide receiver side, so I think that's where it gets a little rough. But I would go Allen Robinson too.
Yeah, one thing to know for Allen Robinson, QB uncertainty in Chicago. If they go Dalton, I'm all in on Robinson. If they go Fields, which I doubt, then I'd go Marquise.
What if they go Nick Foles right out of the blue? All the QBs are in play, apparently.
Yeah. Well, if Nick Foles is in, I'll still go Robinson.
Oh, so anybody but Fields.
Anybody but Fields. Sad. Man, let's not talk about Fields. boss are at a loss. We got Keenan Allen on Matthew's team. Let's look at the stats here for average. A three-game average. Keenan Allen has 7 receptions for 11 targets, caught 7 receptions, 86 yards, and a touchdown. That's one touchdown for all three games. He's averaging 11.2 points per game. And then Mike Williams, who's on your team, 7 receptions, 11 targets, which is this, on average same volume, 98 yards, which is 12 yards more on average, total 5 touchdowns, which is 4 touchdowns more than Keenan Allen, and 18.8 points average per game, which is 7.6 points more than Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is the clear number one on the team in terms of like formation, but Mike Williams is structure-wise, and if he has a good matchup, and he has been, just going off. Like, who would you rather have rest of the season? Is Keenan Allen the boss, or is he at a loss?
Wow, I'm looking at Keenan Allen right now. He's got 11 points week one, 11.8 points week two, and then 11 points again week three. This guy's just all about the 11s. What's his number? What does he wear?
It's
13. It's 13. It 13? So close. So close. I knew it was in the 10s. But anyways, my honest answer is I want the person who's going to stay healthy. Both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams have had a lot of injury concerns in the past couple of years, and it's literally if whoever stays healthy is going to be the top dog in the Chargers. So I'm not sure who's that going to be, or maybe it'd be both, or maybe it won't be either. You know, maybe both of them can go down. So we'll see.
Yeah. That's a good point that you brought up. I didn't think about the injuries, but that makes sense. Injury aside, I'm leaning Mike Williams here.
Yeah, he's getting looked at so hard at the end zone. Every single time I watch a Chargers game, Mr. Justin Herbert is like staring him down in the end zone. They can't do anything about it.
No, they can't.
Mike Williams is just way too tall and way too jumpy.
Yeah. That's not really... it's harder to like recognize him on the field because I don't think he has the long hair anymore.
Yeah. And he's actually like as big as Jared Cook. So I get them confused.
Oh, really?
He's huge. Mike Williams is a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tight end height with wide receiver speed, right?
Basically.
All right. Let's move on to our fourth matchup. QBs for sale. That's Joe's team versus what's Steve's team name again now? It's I'm Projected for LOL.
What?
Don't forget the what. I just noticed his team Lomo logo is.
Yeah. He screenshotted his current projection.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's pretty good. I'll give that to you.
Yeah. For that, whatever. I'm giving Steve the game on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Antonio Gibson, I think he's going to just get better and better. He had his first good game last week, finally got a touchdown. Devontae Adams, I just hate watching him because it's the same route to the sideline every single time and you can't guard him. Hate it.
just can't stop it.
No. Gronk, he got injured last game, got hit hard in the ribs. He came back in the game. I think he'll be fine.
Tyler recently traded for.
Oh yeah, Gronk. What was? Should we talk about this trade real quick?
I think it was Chase Edmonds for Gronkowski, right?
Let's see.
I gotta Chase check it. Is the trade was between the two Kimbrough, so I made sure there was no collusion going on. But
yeah, it was Chase Edmonds. Yeah, Chase Edmonds to all my homies, to Pat, my Chubb, and Gronk to Steve.
Yeah,
that's that is very interesting. Right after that happened, I think the Chase Edmonds and Jamar Chase trade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but anyway, this game I am giving it to Steve. I think Kyler Murray has a good game. It's gonna be a fun one. I think Arizona versus the LA Rams, I think that's gonna be a shootout. Kyler's gonna get, I'm gonna say, 28 points.
Nice number. Wow. Yeah, I can see it.
All right, who you got on this one?
So I got Joe But honestly, that just might be because I can't bring myself to vote for Steve.
You should.
But real talk, I think there are a lot of players that I just don't trust on Steve's team. Like, honestly, everyone who isn't Kyler Murray and Davante Adams, I'm not really sure what to expect from them. Like, the Bucks defense should be good, but half of their weeks they've gotten negative points, and Steve just keeps it's 2 out of the 3 weeks they've gotten negative points, and Steve just keeps Steve has a lot of faith in the Bucks defense, and you know they're playing against New England,
yeah,
which theoretically they should have the advantage, but you know, no one knows Tom Brady better than Bill Belichick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that, I think that would be an interesting game to watch.
One plus, and though, then, on the Buccaneers defense, they just picked up Richard Sherman.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I think he already joined the practice, so we'll see how that helps or hurts them.
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't hurt.
And this guy, I respect the Young Wave coup pick, but then I think it's like in the 9th round and he's averaging like 5.5 points a game. So it's like, maybe you need a new kicker too, man. And
there's some good kickers on the waiver wire, on the free
agent. There are. I'm always wondering if I should make the swap, but then I'm holding on to my fish.
Yeah.
Tyler Bass.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler combo for Joe. OBJ, he's back, it looks like. I think he'll have a fine game next week.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dalvin Cook is in, well, if Dalvin Cook is 100%, then I think this goes to Joe. But
interesting thing, because, Steve would probably start Alexander Mattison if Dalvin Cook is hurt.
Yeah.
So there's a big swing on that one.
Could definitely see that. I honestly, if I were Joe, might even put Stafford over Herbert. I know Herbert is great. But given the matchup, I think I would rather have Stafford and go with the big gameplay.
Yeah, Stafford has been killing it, so I feel like you just have to kind of go with the hot hand right now.
Right.
Yeah, but to each their own.
Let's go into
Joe might get confused between them. So he might not even be knowing who he's starting every week.
Dang. Joe, eyes open. We got Boss or at a loss with Christian McCaffrey's unfortunate injury. Chuba Hubbard, I believe he's a rookie, came in. And he's obviously the number one. But there's also Royce Freeman in the backfield with him. Royce Freeman, I had him a couple years ago. Very bad. He never really came through with any like real production for the Broncos. So I hate to even see his name on here. I'm just like mad that I put his name here, but is there a chance that if Chuba Hubbard is not capable of fulfilling, he's definitely not capable of fulfilling the McCaffrey role, but if he's not capable of being sufficient enough in the backfield, is there a chance that this might become a very split backfield with Royce Freeman?
I really like how honest you were with Royce, with your dissatisfaction with Royce Freeman. But, you know, I think if our league has taught us anything, like, the name quality is what defines a player. And, you know, Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah. Just one more, but we're missing one B.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, that is a God-given name. So, I'm going with Chuba.
Yeah. All right. Brian says he's the boss, and because I don't like Royce Freeman, I say Chuba is the boss. At least a 60-40 split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The final game of week 4, the Fon Najee football team versus all Mahomes Pat Mike Chubb. Me against him this week. Who do you got, Brian?
I've got Rob.
That's surprising because I have Tim.
I got your back.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'll tell you why I picked him. Pat Mahomes is a great quarterback. DJ Moore.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's whatever. DJ Moore is, I think, taking over as the number one now. He's got an empty spot in the flex, but I think that's because he just had a trade.
He's not even starting a flex player. You've got this game.
I mean, if I were him, I would probably put Chase Edmonds in there, maybe.
Maybe Antonio Brown.
If he's back, yeah.
I don't know. Even if he's not, I'd take a shot.
What about you could always put in Jarvis Landry, Tim. I think – yeah. But, yeah, no, I think Zach Moss is also a good he's been consistently good for 2 weeks, didn't play the first against Houston, not a great team. So, overall, I think this will be a good game. On my side, I just like – man, I had to make some moves. I had picked up some people. I think my team overall, it feels balanced, but after last week, I just lost a lot of confidence in my players.
Well, I'm here to give you your confidence back, my man. So here is why I think you're going to take this dub. All right?
Let's go.
So, yes, I agree that Patrick Mahomes, Nick Chubb and DJ Moore, all solid. Like, I think that's probably – oh, sorry. And Travis Kelce. I almost missed him. Man. Yeah, and I think those guys, obviously, that's like a solid like 50, 60 points right there. But I think he's really reaching on the rest of his players. Mm. Like, Zach Moss, I feel like he's just reaching for touchdowns. And, yeah, he's been pretty lucky and has had 3 touchdowns in the past 2 weeks, but – honestly, I'd wager that, you know, he has a higher chance of having no touchdowns than he does having a touchdown, especially even against a team like Houston with Josh Allen as your quarterback, who has, I think he has the most QB runs for a touchdown in the past, like, really? 2 or 3 years. Yeah. And so he's a big stealer of rushing touchdowns. Mm. So, and then Devontae Smith, I don't see how anyone can trust him right now. He looked good in week 1, but, you know, barely any points in the next 2 weeks. And honestly, like, his bench options are all pretty shaky as well. So, honestly, yeah, I think outside the core players, I feel like there's a little bit of worry. And I feel like for your team, you just have a lot of players that haven't scored yet.
Mm.
You know, like Jonathan Taylor has had like respectable weeks, but they don't look great because he hasn't had a touchdown yet.
Mm. Let's talk.
And so I feel like it's the opposite situation of what Tim is trying to go for with Zach Moss, who's had 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, and you can't keep baking on that. But I feel like Jonathan Taylor, he hasn't had a touchdown in 3 weeks, and he's against Miami. I feel like they're going to be looking for him to get a touchdown. I'm calling it here.
Yeah.
If Jonathan Taylor doesn't get a touchdown tomorrow or this week against Miami, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about Jonathan Taylor. Boss or at a loss. So let's go with his stats. 3-game average, 14 carries, 57 yards, 2 receptions for 23.3 yards. 0 touchdowns across 3 games, 8 points average per game. Behind him is Nyheim Hines. 5.3 carries for 21.3 yards and a touchdown on the ground. 4 receptions for 39.7 yards and 0 touchdowns through the air. That's almost averaging 10 yards per reception and has 8.1 points. So Nyheim Hines had the touchdown and that got him pretty much the same average points per game as Jonathan Taylor. Should I be worried about Nyheim Hines? I think Tim has him. That's why I brought it up here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did he? He doesn't have him.
Oh, I think it's the other Kim. It's Steve. Steve has other him. Kim?
Okay. Yeah, but
they're the same.
they share players now too.
And like, I'm looking at Steve's team. What is up with Steve? He's got like, he's a handcuff gamer, dude. He's got Chuba Hubbard. He's got Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, Nyheim Hines. You know, Steve, you know, to win, you need some starting players, right? Like, I think you need to change up your strategy a little bit.
If he wipes out enough starting running backs, then all his running backs might be starters.
Wow. I don't know.
It's an interesting strategy. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's a bold one. Let's see how it works out, Connor.
But back to Jonathan Taylor. I don't want to be concerned. I believe that, like you said, that it's just a touchdown. Is he hasn't had them, but and I'm hoping that they're planning to give it to him. My only concern is that, you know, it works. They're two running back setup. If that works for them, sure. But I don't know. I think they. I'm really uncertain on this one. It's a hard to call, but I'm going to keep Jonathan Taylor as a boss.
And I agree with you, my man. I think at this point, like, Nyheim Hines is who he is. You know, he's played for a long time and he's been, you know, that solid sort of change of pace back, gets in the game, relieves the starter. Last season, you know, he played pretty well as Jonathan Taylor's backup too. He had some touchdowns, and I think this year, you know, he just had that touchdown before JT got his touchdown. And if you take away that touchdown that last game, like, I think Nyheim Hines is like basically averaging like 4 points a game or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Jonathan Taylor's perfectly fine. It'll even itself out by the end of the season.
That's fair. Appreciate it, Brian.
Got you.
That brings us to our last and final, or that completes our recap. Our week four projections and looking into the upcoming games. I just wanted to go through our current standings as well. I'm not going to call out the team names, but we have one team that's 3-0. We have one team that's 0-3. We have four teams that are 2-1. And we have four teams that are 1-2, which tells me everyone's still in it. This is a pretty even split. So I think there will, after, not even next game, I think after week five is when we'll start to see some separation. But until then, everyone's in it. We still got it. So check your lineups, check your injury, the injured players. Make sure they're playing. If they're not, hurry up and
leave. Put your injured players in, guys.
Yeah, leave it empty. Leave it empty. Or what's worse, keeping it empty or putting an injured player in?
I think you put your injured player in.
Fill it up.
you like make them like the team morale, you know? They're cheering on your team.
Yeah. Everyone loves an underdog.
Yeah, for real. And who do you think, or what do you think would happen first, Robin? Will the 3-0 team lose, or will the 0-3 team win?
I think based on my projections this week, Matt's supposed to win and Steve is supposed to win. So they're both supposed to win, but I have Matt with the upset. So I say the 0-3 Steve team gets their first win this week, and the 3-0 Ron Artest gets their first loss.
Wow. So both happens this week, huh?
Both happens.
All right, let's watch it.